Hello, folks. Welcome back to the Paul Revere Show. I'm here with Ann Jacobs, the current chair of the Wisconsin Election Commission. And we are talking about Special Counsel Gabelman's report on the 2020 election and why it doesn't raise any legitimate questions about the validity of the results. And before we get back into, we were talking about votes in the nursing home and the issues there. I just wanted to remind all the voters, Senator Ron Johnson, Republican running again, was very, very clear that Trump lost. And he lost simply because there were like 50,000 Republican votes that went to other Republicans in 2020 that Donald Trump didn't get. In other words, in one of his talks buried some time ago, he told the world exactly the fact. Donald Trump lost the 2020 election and it should be over. But instead, we have the biggest loser today calling on folks in Wisconsin to try to listen to this Gabelman report. So, Ann, nursing homes, the alleged voter issues. Why is the Gabelman report just flat wrong?
So the Gabelman report sort of takes the whole nursing home issue and turns it on its head. So there's two parts to the Gabelman thing, one of which is it says basically that people who they allege were not competent were allowed to vote. Okay. Now, the thing about it is nobody can take away your right to vote except a judge, period. The That's only right. person who can take away your right to vote is your judge, and you actually have due process rights before the judge can do that. So if you are old, if right, you have Alzheimer's.
Right, which means if your daughter or son don't like how you're voting, they can't shut you up.
Correct. And even if you have some dementia, you have Alzheimer's, you have whatever, you have the right to vote. Even if you think like, I want to vote for the guy I saw on TV because I think he's got great hair. That may be impaired thought, but you know what? You can do it if a judge hasn't taken that right away. So special voting deputies, the people who go into nursing homes to help nursing home people vote, don't get to do a competency evaluation or anything on the people in the nursing home. If the person wants to vote, they have to let them vote. They have to let them vote no matter what. So the first falsehood in the Gabelman report is the implication that somehow special voting deputies are allowed to prevent people from voting. They're not. And then the second part of which is that nursing home voters are not allowed to use a absentee ballot when the special voting deputies can't get in the nursing home. That is completely untrue. They are allowed to cast an absentee ballot, and they're allowed to do so with the assistance of the people around them, the same as everybody else. Now, why is this important? It's important because people are in nursing homes for all sorts of reasons and they don't lose the right to vote. Maybe you're there for rehab. Maybe you had a health problem that you just can't get up and down your stairs at home. You have the right to vote. And the diminishment of the rights of disabled and elderly people to vote is really problematic.
So I think powerful points, right? Old folks, seniors have a constitutional right to vote. Majority, well, all six commissioners at one point in time all agreed on that.
Correct.
And we all but one agreed throughout that we had to do everything we could to let folks in nursing home facilities that are under duress because of COVID to vote.
And to vote safely. They had the right to vote and the right to vote safely.
And here's the other point that I think the Gabelman's report doesn't address. And neither do any of the people that are critical of the so-called outcome. This was all done live, right? We held our commission meetings live. Everybody in the state knew what we were doing. Every politician running for office knew what we were doing, including President Trump. Nobody said at the time, if you recall, nobody said we should do something different, right? They only said something after the votes got counted and Trump lost, right? And you can bet, I mean, we didn't change the rules in 2020. I mean, the same rules in 2016, 2020. Now, we didn't have a pandemic in 2016, but the laws were there, right? All these laws could have been challenged before 2020, and they didn't. And in fact, so many courts said that, right? They said, Donald, if you didn't like the rules, challenge them before the election, not after. So what's another Gableman report, phony issue that you think we should talk about?
So there's a bunch. You can hand me some. I mean, we can talk about false allegations of non-citizen voting. You can talk about database management. We can talk about what else you want.
Well, give me. Let's just deconstruct those. Go ahead.
Okay. So Wisconsin's voter registration database is comprised of basically everybody who's ever been registered to vote in modern times. And from that database, we run reports or we create groups of who is currently registered to vote. So within this giant database are the people who are deactivated for any one of a whole bunch of reasons, and the people who are active voters. One of the weirder sets of conspiracy theories is that somehow people can get in the database and tweak who's activated and who isn't and somehow create what they call phantom voters. First of all, not true. Second of all, then the second part of this conspiracy theory is that somehow having active voters and inactive voters in the same database, I don't fully understand this one. It's like data cooties. That somehow deactivated voters are going to taint the activated ones. And I don't really get that one. But the answer is Wisconsin has one of the most robust self-managed databases. And it has enormous protections against doing the sort of things that people are accusing people of creating fake voters and having them vote and activating and deactivating. And if people want to look at that data, it's there. You can buy the database every day and see who's a voter. So that's one of the weirder ones, is they've decided to sort of glom on to this database idea based on some weird views of what databases do.
So there was another allegation, and I think we do need to touch on this. Our administrator, Megan Wolf, right? Mm-hmm. She's nonpartisan. Unlike the commission members, right? We're allowed to be partisan. So we're partisan. Megan Wolf, her job, and she took an oath to be nonpartisan. But yet, the Gableman report accuses her of falsehoods. How do we get?
So I think this really goes with Gableman. It's a wide variety of levels. One of which is clearly he's got a woman problem, because he's focused on Megan Wolf's pearls and the nose rings of some other people and whether they live with their boyfriends or not. It's really kind of a disgusting level of misogyny. Putting that aside, it's a worldview where having free and fair and accurate elections is seen as bias against Republicans. Again, because we had free, fair, open, safe elections, Trump lost. Therefore, people who advocate for free, fair, safe ballot elections are against Trump. Therefore, they're against the Republican Party. So that's where Megan gets attacked, is because she keeps advocating for the right of people to vote under our legal and administrative system. So I think that's where that's coming from.
You know, I think there's a bigger component to this that I think our listeners really need to be aware of. Right? I mean, our elections are really decentralized, right? I mean, municipal clerks and county clerks run the elections, not the WEC and Madison and not Megan Wolf, right? I mean, the elections are right there in your neighborhood, and you folks, wherever you vote, you know who runs your elections. Those are the people that you see. Megan Wolf and her staff, their job is to answer questions of independents, Republicans, Democrats, to allow everybody to vote, right?
Right.
With a set of rules. So how is it that she is now being called out? I mean, they're really, I mean, she's received threats for just following the rules, even though she doesn't make policy, right?
Correct. And I think some of it is misogyny. And I really do think they see her as representing the system that caused their guy to lose. And in this new world, fraud is defined as anywhere where Trump didn't win. And if that's your definition, then she is seen as emblematic of that. And it's dangerous to her, certainly, with the threats and the like. And it's also incredibly destructive to our democracy.
I just wanted to, it's not only that, I mean, there have been calls, physical, but there have been calls to jail folks, including you and me, mm-hmm. right? And
yep.
And including Dean Knutson, a Republican who helped create the Wisconsin election, and our fellow Commissioner Marge Bosselman, a clerk from up in Green Lake, wonderful woman. You know, how is it that now, if you're following the law, you're doing what you can to let people vote, and now they're locking you up? How do you see that impacting our system of elections?
You know, the famous quote in Shakespeare of "First let's kill all the lawyers" is not about actually killing lawyers because people don't like them. It's about killing the people who protect the rights of government, right? In the Arab Spring in Egypt, they rounded up the lawyers and they got rid of them. And I think the Elections Commission is really functioning in a similar way. If you can get rid of the refs, you can win the game, is sort of the theory. So here we are in the Elections Commission on a bipartisan basis, working together to have a safe, fair, and accurate election. And because their guy didn't win, somehow that makes us criminal. And that's really a scary and authoritarian situation.
It's a dangerous place to be. And we'll be back after the break to wrap up our discussion of the Gableman report and its lack of truth, put it that way. We'll be right back, folks.